Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
Green Bay's rookie wideout is dealing with a lingering shoulder injury and is considered day-to-day. Meanwhile, Philadelphia's Saquon Barkley is expected to be available for the team's game on Monday night after suffering a groin injury last week.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates. Presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sportsbooks, an injury ruins your whole football parlay. But not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play Insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show. Final hour of the program is the start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Chuck Rose gets first quest. You know, it's Motown Monday, as we always do. Little pride and joy from Marvin Gaye. Get things cranked up and going. Early Marvin Gaye. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app is how you catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show through our personal Twitter pages. I'm at JMCH316. We got young Garrett producing the show here tonight. He is at, by the way, GChap ATL.
Following Mike Bell's lead.
Of drunkenness?
Just
debauchery?
Catchy Twitter headlines, I guess. GChap ATL makes sense.
It's too much.
Like, but notice I took Garrett out.
What was it before?
No, it was like Garrett 317, which is just my birthday, March 17. And I'm like, yeah. And so I took out took that out and just said GChap ATL.
Were you going to make it Garrett the 316?
Well, no, I'm alluding back to the earlier reference where Garrett isn't really a catchy name. So that's Garrett, the second time that's come up today, by the way.
Garrett 316, was going to be your Twitter handle?
317.
Okay.
I know you're a 316 kind of guy,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, we can't all be John Chucker, though.
That's true. Thank God.
The world can only take one of you.
No, yeah, barely. Barely. They can barely take one, so... did you go see your father or talk to your father yesterday?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I took him. We went to dinner, and then girlfriend and I are moving in together, so we went and showed. I showed
whoa,
him
whoa,
the
whoa, whoa,
whoa, the spot on, over on, where we're on, moving into, and it's
hold
really
on.
Cool.
What now?
Exciting. We're making moves, man. Making money moves.
So you and your girlfriend are moving in together.
Yeah, that's the word on the street.
Are you getting married?
Not yet.
When?
In a couple years.
A couple
a few years,
years
away.
For what?
I'm just taking some time. Take my time.
How old are you?
28.
Oh, come on.
I'm in no hurry. We'll
come
be
on. But then you don't want to marry her.
Oh, don't say that.
Well, you're 28 years old and you're not, I'm not ready to marry her. Why? Why are you not ready to marry her? You're 28.
Put me on the spot, man.
You're 28 years old.
I'm doing fine. We're doing just fine.
Yeah. Let me tell you, as a 51-year-old guy, okay, I should have gotten married and had my kids sooner. I waited until I was 37, 38. I think I was 37 or 38 years old.
Yeah.
When I had my child, when I had my daughter. It's way too late. I mean, just...
My dad was 42 when he had me.
Yeah.
42.
My dad was 29. 42
is probably
a
little too old. 42 is definitely too old.
Yeah, I mean, it's... It's not...
I mean, people find love at different times in their life, you know?
Yeah, but okay, but you found it. Now you're going to wait a couple of more years.
We're just biding our time. We're doing our thing.
Biding your time? That sounds like you're going to die here soon. Sounds like you're going to... Just biding my time. You know, I got cancer and I'm going to bide my time. What?
That would be the inverse of what I would be thinking if that were the case.
Well, if you're just buying your time, we're just kind of, you know, hanging in there one day at a time. Like
the point is like you're
Brian Snitker. Well, the point is,
yes, I would took my dad and I we went out to dinner last night, just the two of us, which was kind of nice because I have two brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, Sky, I have two brothers. I have one who's on a trip, and then the other one who lives in Nashville. So I don't get alone time with my dad as much as I'd like to, and it was kind of good just to go to dinner and do our thing.
Yeah, that's cool. Nice. Where'd you guys go?
La Fonda.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we love La Fonda.
La Fonda. Let me tell you.
I treated him to some dinner, and that's an Atlanta staple right there.
Well, which one did you go to?
The one on Ponce.
Okay. So
I'm in Little Five.
We go to the one on right there by Chastain Park.
Love that one. That's a good one. On Roswell Road?
Yeah. So that's fish tacos and...
Delicious.
And, Day-Day and I were just talking about this last week. Fish tacos and in a pitcher of mojitos.
Mm. I like the marg. They got a good marg up there.
I'm not a margarita
Cuban sandwich. Their Cuban sandwich is really good too.
Yeah,
their Cuban's
not a margarita
very
guy
good.
Because I can't do tequila. So
no, that's fair.
Yeah. So, but their
we all have our faults.
Are outstanding. Yeah. No, I've never been. Listen, even in your short little lifetime, I've probably drank five times the amount of liquor that you've drank.
Probably
at 51. I promise you.
Oh no! Yeah, I bet. I can drink with the best of them, but I mean, I can imagine. I mean, you've doubled me.
How old
me,
are you?
So. 28.
Oh,
you're about twice. I don't know. We'll get there.
Yeah, I mean,
I can imagine. I mean, we were just talking you used to burn the clubs down.
When did you
dancing into club down here in Midtown?
When's the first time you ever had alcohol?
What's the statute of limitations?
It doesn't matter.
I was like 15, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was
I didn't really drink until I went to college, you know? Because you go to college, and then it's like, things change. I was a Georgia Southern guy, so things change. But, I mean...
The first time I tried alcohol was at 13. And...
Okay. Well, I had a sip of my mom's beer when I was like
I mean,
12,
like a whole drink. Like I had...
Okay.
So, and then...
I didn't count that.
My
yeah.
buddy and I that... So I grew up on a lake, Lake Cable.
Okay.
And I had a pontoon boat, and... My buddy, who lived about three doors down, his grandparents were Italian. Frank, and the guy's name was Frank Manello.
Oh, sounds Italian. Yeah.
Well, his grandparents made homemade wine.
Ooh.
And he would bring homemade wine over for us to drink, and we'd go out on the pontoon boat and start drinking homemade wine. But I was sneaking into clubs, and it's a different era now.
Yeah, I mean, drinking age was 18. Was it 18 when you were that age?
When I was a teenager, it was 18 years old.
Okay.
You could drink. All right, but it changed. I think when I was 13 or 14 is when the laws changed to 21.
Because my mom was like, that's how it was for her. And
yeah,
it was
right
when she was like 20-ish right. years old or
there
whatever.
I had a lot of friends that were grandfathered in because they were older.
Yeah, she got grandfathered in.
Yeah, so they all got grandfathered in. But I was sneaking into clubs 17, 18 years old.
Yeah, I didn't start sneaking into bars and stuff until I was in college.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, I grew up here in Atlanta, so it's like, it's easy in some places, but it wasn't worth it to me.
Let me put it like,
because once you get in, like, what do you do then? It's like, I was broke and I didn't have any money to spend anyway. So,
well, I can remember when. Do you know what like mad and sad and all that is? Like mad is Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, you've heard of that before, right?
Yeah, I was about to say. I was like, yeah, I've heard of being sad. You know, that happens.
No, not that. So mad is Mothers Against Drunk Driving. So I can remember when that organization was founded. I can remember when that. So when I was growing up, it was drastically different. Like I had guys that I worked for. Like one of my bosses that I worked for, he had 7 or 8 DUIs.
Lord.
But again, understand, a DUI back in those days, back in the late 70s or whatever, it was a traffic ticket. Like there was no negative stigma about a DUI.
Really?
The way it was when I got into high school.
That's hard to imagine
when
nowadays.
When I got into high school and it was, you know, I mean, when I was first a teenager, like 13, 14 years old, it was Nancy Reagan and the don't do drugs and just say no and all that good kind of stuff, which is a farce. I mean, but anyway, but drinking and driving was not that big of a deal. And guys would get 7 or 8 DUIs and they wouldn't lose their license. They wouldn't do any jail time.
I saw a video of somebody who was like, it was like a local TV station up in like Ohio or something where they were reacting to it becoming illegal to have a beverage in your car.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, they were freaking out. They're like, what are they going to do next? I mean, whatever. And it's like, now it's like, but you think about it. That was an awful, awful idea to drink and drive. It's terrible.
Right, right. I mean,
it's awful.
So one of the things that we had is we had drive-thrus. So imagine just a cinder block building, okay? And you would just like almost like a garage that you would drive in through one side and you drive out the other, right? Drive
sure.
straight through. But these were beer and wine stores. So you would drive in, you'd sit in your car, and you know, you'd be like, yeah, I need a 12-pack of Budweiser, a 2-liter of Sunkist wine coolers, and whatever, a something else, okay? And a bag of pork rinds or whatever. And they'd get it and bring it to your car, and you'd pay for it, and it was just like a drive-thru service.
They still do drive-thru services somewhere. Who? They do on Roswell Road.
Where?
The liquor store on Roswell Road, right next to $3 Cafe. They have a drive-thru. I distinctly remember, because I was having lunch with a girlfriend, and we were at $3 Cafe, and I was like, is that a drive-thru? I think they installed it when COVID.
Really?
Yeah, and I guess
this was not a COVID thing. Like,
if that was illegal and I just ousted them, then I feel
Dave's,
you can find them.
Dave's drive-thru was like 1984.
Yeah, most of these are, it's kind of taboo at this point now. I feel like you don't really see them at all, but they're out there.
But
they're around.
You would have a line of cars,
sure,
and that's how you would get yourself established. Like, I'd be with older people, and they'd see me in the car.
I know the way to do it. Yeah, that's how you can do it
right.
when you're in college and everything
right.
else. Yeah, it makes
right.
sense.
You have to learn. Like,
build some credibility, you
right.
know?
Like, you had to hang around the older people so that it just became a custom that you were with them.
Yeah.
And you know, while, you know, they were of all age, I wasn't of all age. And so that's how you got, like, in and stuff like that. So that worked. Like, I use people's military IDs and all kinds of different things. So, but you should propose. Somebody on Twitter said, again, you should propose. You don't need to wait. You're 28 years old. 28 years old, settle down, have a family. Don't wait. Don't wait till you're too old, right? Don't wait till you're too old. Trust me. Listen, I've lived my life. Like, I could, let's see here, 23, 51. I'm probably just a couple of years short of being your father. I'm probably just a couple.
I mean, you could potentially be there.
Yeah,
my dad's turned 70 though.
My mom had me at 25. My dad was 29. I'm 23 years older than you are.
Yeah, you'd be just old enough. Yeah, right in that range.
Yeah, I mean, you give me about 25, 26 years old, I could have been your father.
Yeah.
So give me about 3 years difference, and I could be your father. So
you're right in there. Yeah, that makes sense.
So again, that's the age bracket, whatever. But, you know, just propose, settle down. It's time. 28 years old. You know, you're not going to do any better. So just make it all happen. So anyway. All right. when we get back, we're going to open up the phone lines to you at 404-726-0929. I'm going to give you what Quinn Snyder told Jeff Schultz in his article from The Athletic about the idea of not being the guy in charge of everything. Are you buying it? 404-726-0929. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Mama said there'll be days like
Excuse
this.
Me.
There'll be days like this, Mama said.
Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along. We got young Garrett back behind glass tonight, so He's got it rolling right along. Now if you just get married, now if you just propose. We had a guy on Twitter that said he was 20 years old getting married on Saturday.
You're calling me out on Twitter, man. You just got...
yeah. I mean, if somebody doesn't push you into action, it's going to just drag on. Because, again, the problem is, and I know, and I've been there. I've done this. You get into a comfort zone. You get into that just kind of, oh, we're just kind of comfortable and all this kind of stuff. You know? Because, again, and I hate to say it this way, but you don't have anything at risk or anything. Right? I mean, you don't have any kind of jeopardy to anything like this. So, 404-726-0929. That is our phone line, and it's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Just need to get the ring. Anyway. Who's with us? Brian? Oh, Ryan. All right. Let's go out to Ryan. What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, John.
Hey.
Huge fan.
Thank you.
I think you're the biggest talent on the station. Love
Thank
your
you.
Wrestling talk and a lot of your other takes.
Thank you.
In terms of the Hawks, they traded away a lot of my Terps, which was disappointing, but I think they're soft. They get pushed around when it matters, regular season. Fluffy, but
so,
in the postseason, they don't really have the grit and the bodies.
So let me ask you this question, because Jeff Schultz did an interview recently with Quinn Snyder, okay? And Quinn Snyder was talking about how, oh, well, the decision-making is collaborative and all this kind of stuff, and he said he doesn't really have any say in personnel. He doesn't have any – he's just here to coach and all that kind of stuff. You believe him when he says that?
To be honest, I'm more of a college fan, and I've followed players from Maryland that have ended up,
mm-hmm.
like Kevin Herter, with the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
But when I watch playoff basketball, I don't see the same kind of physicality or toughness from the Hawks
mm-hmm.
that you're going to get from the Heat or other teams that make it that far.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the call. And look, I'll say it. I don't believe Quinn Snyder when he says this. Now, again, he can say that to Jeff Schultz in an interview and all this, that, and the other. I don't believe that Quinn Snyder left out of some European vacation or some Costa Rican beach to come coach the Hawks for 21 games and not be promised any sort of decision-making regarding personnel. I've talked to the beat writer. I've talked to the play-by-play voice. I've talked to multiple NBA people, and every one of them says the same thing. Every one of them says the same thing, that one of the issues that Quinn Snyder had, because Quinn Snyder was successful in Utah, he had really good teams, but one of the issues that he had was the fact that he did not have a say in personnel decisions. And then he talks to Jeff Schultz. And I understand that they can manipulate the media any way they want. And I'm not saying Schultze was duped in any of this or anything like that. But he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I don't really care what the personnel is. I'm supposed to coach the guys that Landry Fields gives me. And, you know, he's the guy in charge and all that. And I'm not saying that Landry Fields doesn't have the final ultimate say about everything as far as personnel goes. But I refuse to believe that Quinn Snyder, getting paid championship coach money, is just sitting back and waiting for the players to come to him to coach. That he doesn't have a say or an influence in what is going on as far as personnel goes. I don't know if he has all the say. I don't know if he has some of the say. I don't know, but I do know, or at least I think I know, that he's got some influence about who's going to be on this roster. Because that's the reason why it got sideways for him in Utah. To a man, people have said that. And I understand getting paid championship coach-level money. You know, first off, he wasn't a guy who needed money, but you don't turn down money. But you also want the idea of being able to buy some of the groceries, right? You know, as Bill Parcells always said, I'll cook the dinner, but I want to shop for the groceries. Now, I'm not saying that Quinn Snyder is lying, because, again, he used the word collaborative, right? That word has been thrown all around. But I definitely think that he has got a say and a hand in what is going to happen. Kyle Korver, Landry Fields, Quinn Snyder, maybe to some degree Tony Ressler. I don't think that Tony Ressler is involved in the personnel making, but I do believe Tony Ressler has the idea of either we're going to get in the luxury tax or not. I don't think that decision comes straight from Landry Fields about are they going to get in the luxury tax or not. I think that decision comes from Tony Ressler. And if Tony Ressler says we're not going to be a luxury tax team, then you're going to have to, you know, either you're going to have to resign or you're going to have to build a team that's not in the luxury tax. It's pretty simple. So I don't think that Quinn Snyder came here in all of this just to say, well, you know, I've got the guys, you know, that I'm handed, Capella, Collins, Hunter, Trey, DeJounte, you know, and I'm just fine with just coaching these guys. That's just what I want to do. I don't believe that. He's too smart of a guy. He's got too much going on for it all. So 404-726-0929. What are your thoughts about this? Because I'm not buying it. And everybody kind of has that same message, right? Collaborative, communicative, you know, all these if words that I keep hearing from everybody. Tony Ressler was using them, right? When Dukes and Bell talked to him a couple few months ago, whatever it was. Well, you know, we're going to be the most communicative organization in the NBA. We're going to be the most collaborative organization in the NBA. What does all that mean? There has to be some kind of pecking order in things. There's pecking orders in life, right? It's in the military. It's in corporate structure. It's everywhere. So it's certainly true of, you know, basketball teams or professional sports teams or different things like that. There's no reason that there isn't that kind of structure, and there's that pecking order. See, again, that's the second question I wanted to ask Tony Ressler would be, okay, are we going in the luxury tax this year? Forget when it makes sense or forget when, you know, it's, you know, the right time or we're championship level or whatever. Forget all that kind of stuff. Are we going in the luxury tax this year? Because we're $9 million in the luxury tax. Are we going into it? That's what I want to know. And then tell me what's the pecking order. Where does Quinn Snyder? And look, if you tell me Quinn Snyder is fourth or whatever, okay. Then Quinn Snyder's fourth in the pecking order. I just want to kind of know what the structure is out there. All right, 404-726-0929. Let's go out to Andre. What's going on, Andre?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Hey, buddy, what's going on, man?
Hey, I just wanted to say I really think the way the Hawks and ever since Travis Schlenk has left, we've been really kind of been fed one thing and seen another. So I'm really not surprised by what I'm hearing from Quinn and what's coming out, because there's been a lot of things that, you know, ever since obviously the way Travis left, Tony Ressler's son being involved. There's a lot of stuff that we kind of just don't really know about. So, but, you know, there has to be a reason for all of this. I don't know what it is, but there's definitely something going on. Like you said, I don't know any coach in the NBA that doesn't have at least some say in their draft or any process front office moves. So I don't know. Maybe this is just something that the front office wants to put out. So it just seems like there's not a power struggle going on with a new GM and just a front office and a coach that's rebuilding and all that. That's all I just want to say. Thanks.
No, appreciate it. And look, it's not like Quinn Snyder is getting paid bottom tier money. You know, he's not making $2 million a year or something like that. He's getting paid $8 million a year. That puts him in the ballpark of the Eric Spoelstras, the Doc Rivers, the Nick Nurse, Steve Kerrs. You know, the only guy that is drastically above him is Popovich, which, understandable. Popovich still may be the best coach in the NBA. I think Eric Spoelstra is right now probably the best coach in the NBA. But again, you know, Pop with his legacy is in that top echelon. But he's getting paid championship coach money. All the guys that make around the same money that he does have all won NBA titles. You don't get paid championship coach level money without winning an NBA title just to say you're coaching on the sidelines. It's more than that. Now, again, I'm saying Landry Fields may have the final say when all is said and done, right? I mean, you know, Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff were the same thing, that Dan and Thomas worked together to get the roster. But ultimately, you know, Thomas Dimitroff had the final say in what the roster was going to be. So there has to be that pecking order to all of it. And that's the thing. That's why I'm not saying he's lying, and I'm not saying Jeff Schultz is, you know, a useful idiot or he's being duped or anything like that. But I think there is some gamesmanship in the way that this conversation is being framed. And that's why this was an opportunity for Tony Ressler to get out in front of all of this and just give definite answers. Now we're left with a lot of questions. Now we're left with, okay, well, where are we going? What's this going to be about? Because I'm going to be fascinated by what the next moves for the Hawks are. I mean, obviously the draft is coming up on Thursday, but I'm fascinated by what the next moves are going to be. Are they going to cut payroll? Are they going to add a big-time player? Are they going to make a big-time trade? I'm hearing it's rumor season. Garrett, I'm hearing everything from Kristaps Porzingis to Pascal Siakam to everybody in between. I've heard every name that's been out there to be traded to the Atlanta Hawks in some form or fashion. Every name that you can think of has been out there. The only guy that's not been out there has been Draymond. But I've heard Bradley Beal's name. I mean, we heard all these kinds of things, right? Would Chris Paul be a guy that would be? Every name has been bantied about by the media as far as Atlanta Hawks go, because they know that the Atlanta Hawks have to make a move. They know that they are looking at making a big-time move to get this roster on track to win something. And I don't think that Quinn Snyder is just sitting on the sidelines, sitting back and waiting for things to unfold. I don't think that's what this is. And everybody that I've talked to has said the same thing, that Quinn Snyder wanted a hand in personnel. Whatever that is, he wanted a hand in personnel. All right, more to come when we get back. We're headed to the top of the hour. Jason Longshore and Atlanta Soccer Tonight is coming up next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 929 The Game, Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Mint condition. Right? Pretty brown eyes. We played this, Day-Day played this about a week or so ago or whatever like that. We were talking about this song. How old are these guys now? Like in their 40s probably? When did this song come out? What year? Hold on. We'll look this up. Pretty brown eyes. Let's see. When did this song come out? It was November of 1991. November 11th, 1991. That was, more than a year after my high school. Were you born in, or were you even born in 1991?
1995.
This song's older than you.
Mm. Most things are, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Most things are.
Yeah. You know, dirt, it's older than you.
It's older than you too, man.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe
we'll
not
see.
Maybe not older than Freaky. Maybe not older than
I didn't
Freaky.
Say everything.
Because you're producing Freaky on the weekends.
I've been doing it quite a bit, yeah.
Okay, how's that going?
It's good. We're having a good time.
Yeah.
Having some fun.
He was
a lot of phone callers.
He was complimenting you the other day on the email or whatever like that.
He did the reply all.
Yeah, he did the reply.
And then I replied to him only to him.
Yeah. That's all right though.
Well, how do you feel about the reply alls? I'm not a big reply all guy.
No. I mean, there's no reason to really do that unless you really have to get a message out to people. But no, there's no reason why. It's funny because You know, we
just wanted to. He just wanted to say a nice thing.
Well, yeah, it's funny because at the radio station here, that became a big thing that people were always replying all to, like the most mundane thing, like, hey, you know, congratulations on, I don't know, your bar mitzvah or whatever. And
we still have that sometimes.
Oh yeah,
that's downstairs though.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, but it would start getting like, we would get like 40 responses. Of reply all, hey, congrats. You know what I mean? Like,
but you're just saying like, the same thing, and you're just saying congratulations. Right. And then it's like, do I respond or do I not? And then it becomes a thing.
Right, but again, you don't have to send it to everybody. You can just reply to that individual person. Hey, congrats. Like, we don't all need to know that, you know, you're happy about their bar mitzvah or whatever.
I mean, it's like if you see a Facebook post. I mean, I'm going to say congratulations on the Facebook post, but the thing is, no one's reading up through those things because no one wants to read congratulations 600 times. But the person who's receiving the message, sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course.
But not everybody.
Not everybody. No one cares.
I don't have
reply
Facebook,
alls so. Or not.
I don't have face chat or whatever it is.
Face chat, yeah.
Whatever it is.
I figured a boomer would really want to do that. You're not technically a boomer, though. You're a Gen Xer.
Yeah, I guess I'm Gen X.
I guess the Gen X was like, well, boomers love Facebook. Gen Xers, not so much.
No.
Then millennials hate Facebook.
No, because we
Gen Zers hate Facebook.
We could entertain ourselves in different ways. Let me ask you this. So, like, for instance, here's a generation
your thumbs.
Difference. We actually talk to human beings. I mean, yeah.
Again, I'm not that old. I'm not that young.
Well,
sir.
No, I'm going to ask.
I'm not
you,
that young.
How did you meet your girlfriend?
Through a friend.
Okay. So
she was the boss of my best friend.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so and they then set she you was, up.
No, they didn't. The best friend didn't know about us for a little while. So we were going around behind anybody's back. We were just sort of hanging out.
Well, how did you meet? How did the two of you meet?
We went to New Realm. The brewery down over there on the Beltline.
Right.
And
with
some friends.
Isn't that where we had our 10-year anniversary
party?
Well,
you guys did. I was here.
Oh. Well,
I was one of the guys who had to work.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
For once. Yeah.
I mean, you're all the time. I live in this place.
So you just...
So we just met at the brewery, and then we just sort of hit it off.
Oh, okay.
All of my relationships have started face-to-face. I've had dates through apps, but I've not had a relationship through an app.
Okay. So that's good. I mean that's a good thing. Because I mean
you were trying to set me up, weren't you?
No. Yeah. I mean, again, I mean because I don't hate.
No, if you find love through Bumble or Tinder or eHarmony.com, yeah. I don't care.
I don't.
You
care.
Do you.
I don't care.
Find happiness.
I don't
joy.
Care if you fall in love with a homeless person on the street. I don't really care. But it is funny though because that is the big generational difference thing.
Yeah.
Like when we had to meet girls, there was no cell phones.
What are you talking about? Match.com and eHarmony.com? That all became big when you were...
Hold on a second.
In your 30s.
Okay, hold on a second.
20s, 30s.
I was almost 30 years old by the time the internet was invented. I was in my mid... I was, what, mid, mid, late, late... Tw- no, late 20s when the internet was invented.
The internet was invented in like the 70s, wasn't it? 77
no,
or something?
No.
It wasn't prevalent, but it became prevalent
was,
in like the 90s.
There was no internet. It was
around. It just wasn't what it was.
The mid 90s is when the internet came into vogue. And I was in my mid late 20s at that point.
And then the dot-com bubble and everything else.
Well, that was again, there's oh
was
man,
it Ask Jives or what was Jeeves?
What was No, no, what was the Oh my gosh! What was the website? Because my buddies used to date on Plenty of Fish was one of them.
FarmersOnly.com.
No, I can't remember. I can't remember because there was a lot of like the initial ones were all hookup ones. Like they were pretty much all hookup ones. Well, yeah, I mean they a lot of them still are.
Yeah.
But oh my gosh, I can't remember. What my friend was on, but
no,
but,
I mean those things were so prevalent. I mean it's just so much more accessible now. I mean it's
yeah, but
so
again,
easy,
we,
but
it
kind of puts up a wall and it makes things so superficial and fake.
Yeah,
I hate it. I hate apps. If you want to go talk to a girl, go talk to a girl at a bar,
see,
or at a library, or
see, so
at
you're,
Publix.
You're an old soul from all that. Yeah, absolutely.
Sure, that's how I've had every one of my relationships that I've had has been found through a friend or through friendships or something that have turned into something more. I mean, then that's great. But it's like I'm also not going to denigrate somebody who does it some other way. I don't like dating culture. What nowadays kind of sucks.
Well, I mean, people. I don't even know. Do they still date? I mean, do they still?
Yeah,
like,
of course they date.
Like,
but
like
dating.
Every,
but
like,
now there's like labels or all this big thing, and it's like some people are like you, Will Smith and Jada or whatever. Like they had the entanglement or whatever that she was in. Like no, you just had an affair.
Well, yeah, because again, when you have millions, when you have tens of millions of dollars in the bank,
yeah.
you can call it those kinds of things.
You can call it whatever you want.
You can call it whatever you want.
Yeah, sure. But still, I mean, but you have like now you have like your talking phase, and then you have your exclusivity phase, and then you're exclusive, but you're not technically dating, and then you become dating, and then you move in, and like, it's just, oh, God, well, like, it's exhausting.
So when I was,
I'm like, you're
so,
not dating, or you're dating.
When I was younger, the way you dated was, you know, you meet a girl, and wherever you met her,
go on,
I
mean, a couple
you,
dates.
You met a girl, and then you guys would go to like dinner or go to a movie or just something, you know, kind of like that. Nowadays, it's like, what, they want to go to coffee and then they want to get to know you.
Well, coffee, I would say coffees or drinks or something like that.
Well, see, again,
easier way to do it. That's an easier way to do it because that's if you don't find it, if it's not good, you can always extend the date.
At 25 years old, there weren't like a Starbucks on every corner or whatever like that. Like at 23 years old, there was no such thing as Starbucks. So if you wanted a coffee, you went to a diner. You know, I mean, again, you went to Denny's. You know,
then go to Denny's.
I know, but I mean, again,
you're going for a coffee. I don't get why people feel like you have to go spend all of this money on your first date. And if it sucks in the first 10 minutes, then you're like, you want to leave.
But that's kind of what we had to do because we didn't have. There weren't like coffee shops and all this kind of stuff when I was first dating. Like the reason you went to dinner is because either you went to dinner or you went to a movie or something like that. Now again, it wasn't necessarily, you know, top of the line dinner or something like that. You weren't spending hundreds of dollars, but you know, you'd go somewhere meet up for at a casual place.
What needs to be casual? First dates need to be casual.
Yeah. Casual place or go see a movie. A great first date is like we go to a comedy club. Like I've seen
great
several.
First date.
Yeah. Like I've seen Jon
That's
Stewart.
Dangerous though. Could be dangerous.
Why?
Oh, if you get called out or whatever. I mean, like if she doesn't roll with it,
who cares? I mean, yeah. if
you learn a lot if she could take a joke.
Yeah, like I saw Jon Stewart on a first date.
Really?
Where
was Jon Stewart? Where you got a first what?
Yeah,
here in Atlanta.
Yeah,
Jon Stewart.
Yes.
When was Jon Stewart in Atlanta?
When you were just an embryo. I mean, this would have been like. Late 90s
I would have been 3 or 4. I was still a kid.
Okay, so you were barely swimming around in somebody's pants. I mean, so again, you know, we actually did a lot of these different things, like the Punchline. I mean, the Punchline was the famous comedy club,
yeah.
That was right there on Roswell Road. Not where
Punchline's
it is now.
Still there? Oh, the
no, not where
Landmark
it is now,
Diner.
The Landmark
area.
Diner is now. No, I'm talking about the Punchline was up there by Cafe 290, right there by and at, what was it? Holyfield had a bar. There on
really?
Roswell Road in Sandy Springs. American Pie was over there. See, you missed out on all the good times. Late, I'm telling you, mid-late 90s. And Day-Day
Atlanta
and I talk about this.
Atlanta was great in the 90s.
Mid-late 90s. Day-Day and I talk about this all the time because those were my hangout spots. Like,
well,
those,
that mid to late 90s was a different era in Atlanta.
Sure
80s, 90s.
Yeah, of course.
And then you get into the 2000s. Now we're like a bona fide metropolis, like a big-time
right.
city. Like, we're so large now. I mean, it's not even comparable to that.
Yeah, no, I mean... When I moved here in 93, and there weren't places to go outside the perimeter in 93, 94. Like, you had very limited options outside the perimeter. If you wanted to go party, you had to go into Buckhead and places like that. But you had very few options. Now you got options everywhere. Now everything is outside the perimeter. You know, and
because the city's expanded.
Yeah,
and
but I mean, like the Buckhead Midtown, those are just general areas. If you wanted to party and go to nightclubs, you had to go to Buckhead and Midtown. That was the only place you could go. I could count on one hand the amount of places that you could go outside the perimeter because they just weren't there. Like American Pie and those places, they were very few and far between. There just weren't that many places to go. And you just didn't have a lot of options, so you had to go into Buckhead. You had to go get in that mode and that vibe and everything like that.
Did you have to saddle up your horse to get all the way up there?
No. I mean again,
little
like
horse and buggy.
You had cowboys out in Kennesaw, you had American Pie in Sandy
Springs.
The
electric cowboy, that was always a big thing. I remember hearing about that.
Well, that's 70s.
Electric cowboy was still out there in like the 2000s. I was 2010s.
No.
Maybe it's a different one.
No, I'm talking about cowboys over in Kennesaw.
Were
they broadcast from the Hooters over there mm-hmm. in Kennesaw? That it literally cowboys used to be right behind all that.
Mm, so. Okay.
All right, Love TKO coming up next. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
Green Bay's rookie wideout is dealing with a lingering shoulder injury and is considered day-to-day. Meanwhile, Philadelphia's Saquon Barkley is expected to be available for the team's game on Monday night after suffering a groin injury last week.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates, presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sports books, an injury ruins your whole football parlay, but not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play Insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.